Christmas season draws to a close tonight. A season that began with Christ's birth now concludes in this feast of the baptism of the Lord with, again, images of new birth. It's a wonderful season that is coming to a close now. And it's a good time to acknowledge what the feast of the baptism means in the Lord's own life. It's a striking moment, and it's fascinating the transition that begins to take place from this moment. At this time in Christ's life, the hidden years, of which may represent most of his life, are beginning to recede, and the active ministry of Christ's life begins. Up to this point, Jesus has been something of a passive figure, even in his own life. He is born. He is presented in the temple. He is found in the temple. And this weekend, he is baptized. But something changes in him in this moment. He becomes an active agent in salvation history. At the conclusion of his baptism, he goes into the desert for 40 days, then calls the first disciples, begins his public ministry. His preaching, his teaching, his great signs and wonders. It's a symbol to us that something profound happens in the moment of baptism itself. The word baptizein in Greek gives us the meaning for the English word, baptized, and it means to immerse. It speaks in a practical way to the ritual aspect of baptism, to be immersed in the waters that Christ made holy by his own baptism. But there's also a way in which there's a symbolic notion of what to be immersed means, because in his baptism, Christ is immersed fully into the human condition and all that comes with it, into what Pope Francis describes as the wonderful messiness of life. It's not just Christ who's involved, it's a Trinitarian mystery. The Father speaks, the Son is baptized, and the Spirit descends in the form of a dove. It's fascinating to me, the last words that Christ hears before he goes into the desert. He hears the Father say, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." For me, it's fascinating to think of Christ going into the desert with these words ringing in his ear, his mind, and in his heart. He's fasting from the world, from all the privileges of life, but I think in a way he's feasting upon these words that he's heard from the Father, taking them deeper and deeper into his life until they become, in a way, his lifeblood, the meaning of his life. He survives this temptation that comes because of the significance of these words. And he offers to us, in a way, a possibility for thinking of our own baptism, that these words are shared with us as well to give us strength to illuminate our path throughout the Christian life itself. So what does baptism mean for us? I think we could first start by saying, what does birth mean for us? A lot of ways to approach this. It's kind of a philosophical question, but it seems to be the case that with our birth, we are immersed in the human condition. And it's worth considering that we don't choose the how. We don't choose where we show up in our birth. We don't choose with whom we will show up. Obviously, Michael would have chosen the family he has if he could choose, but even he didn't get to select where he would show up in this life. We're immersed into this world. And when we're baptized, there's a profound immersion that's taking place this time, but it's in a different context. In our baptism, we are immersed in the mystery of the Trinity, in the mystery of the Church, in the mystery of the life of grace. It's a profound moment that illuminates all of the life that follows. Near the end of John Paul II's life, he was asked what was the greatest moment of his life. And the interviewer suspected that it might be when he became Pope, when he was ordained a priest. But John Paul said that the greatest moment of his life was when he was baptized. And he didn't remember that day. It happened when he was 2 days old in a small village in Poland, Wadowice. His mother remembered that when he was born, the church that was just a few blocks away the bells were tolling. She could hear the bells through an open window to the room. It's a beautiful little memory of his coming into the world. He didn't remember what happened that day, but he knew what took place in his life. A revolutionary moment that changed his being, that illuminated a path for the whole of the Christian life. Another image that I think of when we celebrate this feast of the baptism of the Lord is a word that I remember coming across in seminary. It was in a Latin class. This word, suscipere, it means to take up. And in the Roman world, it had a bit of a legal connotation. When a father was presented with a son or a daughter for the first time, if he drew the child up to his chest, it was his way of acknowledging patrimony, that the child was his. You can imagine what a tender moment that would be for the first time a father draws a child to his chest. But you can imagine the devastation if a father refused this gesture in a child's life. Something I recall on this day, because it speaks to what happens in baptism. The Lord draws us close to his chest, acknowledges that we are a son, a daughter, child of God, that we are pleasing to God, that we are loved by God. It's a fascinating moment. It's why every year we need to celebrate the baptism of the Lord, to acknowledge what happened on that all-important moment in our lives. We give thanks, too, for Michael today for giving us a chance to remember.